Welcome to Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the Kentucky Wesleyan College Alumni Association. Join us each week as we interview incredible alumni and friends and follow the evolution of their lives.
Hey, everybody. We are back again for another edition of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of KWC Alumni. I am Doug Hoyt, and I have the privilege of serving as your host for the podcast. I am a 1984 graduate of Kentucky Wesleyan. See, I can't even get tongue-tied with my new guest in here. Graduate of Kentucky Wesleyan College, and I am excited to have the opportunity to bring today our newest guest, Corey Crowder. Corey, hey, welcome.
Hey, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Corey, we're going to tell a few stories, hopefully get to know you just a little bit, and I'm pretty sure there's a few people out there that are going to be interested in knowing more about you and your evolution. So let's start with when were you at Wesleyan? How did that look for you, your career here? You played basketball, I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I was here from 88. That was right after they won the national championship in 87. I came in 88 and left in 91. And then I came back, I think, about 96 to finish my degree.
So that was right after I was here. I was here in 80 to 84. Mm-hmm. So I remember coming back and seeing you play, but you were not here when I was here.
Right.
Who was the coach then?
Wayne Chapman. And then my last year was Boltinghouse, Wayne Boltinghouse.
Okay. Yeah, so Mike Polio was here during most of the years I was here, and he was a foot stomper, fiery kind of guy. Wayne Chapman was a little more calm, I think.
No.
No?
Lord, no. Are you kidding me?
He was fired up too, huh?
Man, the thing about Coach would say all the bad words, and they'd get on him, but, you know, he'd take you down, but he'd pick you up and hug you. And then he'd put you down on the floor again and cuss you out, but he'd pick you up and hug you again. If you had any type of talent, he would get it out of you. And you can't do nothing but respect a guy like that.
Yeah, well, he was a good coach. There's no question about it.
For sure. In my book, one of the best.
I think that was kind of in his bloodline, right? Because he had a son that turned out to be a pretty good ball player, too.
Yeah, but I mean, one of those stories you want to know. Our practices.
You taught him everything he knew, right?
Our practices always went the way Rex played the night before.
Oh.
If he played good, it was a good practice.
I get you.
If he played bad, it was going to be a bad practice.
It was a little hard.
Oh, it was going to be real hard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I heard somebody today talking about coming back and running the hill over at Chautauqua Park. Did you ever do that?
I did. I actually went over there today. I didn't run it, but I actually went over and
you just got to visit it again.
And talk to the guys. You know, there's something about that hill. Even before Coach asked me to come by and speak to the guys, I was going to go by and see it because I don't know when I'll be back. And I don't know if I come back, if I'll go over to see the hill. The weather's nice. You know, it was a good chance to go over. Got pictures of it again. And that's a part of our life. You know, it's a part of our life.
Absolutely. So you were here, and what did you study when you were here?
Criminal justice. I graduated.
Criminal justice. Okay. So let's talk about what after Wesleyan. What'd you do? Where did life take you?
I played professional basketball. I made the Utah Jazz, and then I left there and went to Spurs for a very quick lunch. Then I left the United States, and I got a job in Italy. And had just decided that I wasn't going to try to come back and play in the NBA anymore. So I stayed in Italy. From Italy, I went to Spain. I went to a couple years in Spain. Then I went to France, married a girl in France. Stayed there till I was 37. And that was it.
Done with basketball at that point.
Yeah.
So you married a girl in France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, we got three kids, three girls.
Still married to the girl in France?
No, I'm not. No way. Lord Jesus, no.
Oh, struck a nerve, sorry.
No nerve. It's cool. I'm a happily single man at 54 years old.
With three children.
Oh, no. I got a lot of kids now. A
lot of kids.
I got...
Well, tell me about the kids. I love talking about kids.
I probably got about 12 kids I call mine. I got 5 biological. The others, they're mine because I gave them love because their fathers wouldn't.
Good for you.
So they're mine.
Good for you.
I got grandkids. They're all grown now. I support
all
them
the kids
enough.
Are grown.
No.
Grandkids are grown.
The grown ones, I got 3 girls with my ex-wife, 21, 17, and 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah. So my other kids, they're mine. I claim them as mine.
Absolutely.
And so I got 12 kids.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
And grandkids.
And grandkids, a lot. I'm very blessed.
You know, grandkids are pretty special. My wife and I, we have 2 kids, 5 grandkids, and in our kitchen by the back door, we have a sign, and it says, grandkids welcome anytime, parents by appointment only.
I like that.
That's kind of how grandkids are for us, you know. They got a special place in that heart.
Absolutely. And I love mine. They all call me Papa. I'm Papa.
I'm Papa.
Papa.
Yeah. So it's close, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you finished at 37 playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Where did life take you after that, Corey?
Got into insurance down in Fort Myers. Probably the last 6 years, I've really concentrated on guiding my son's career. He's going on his 12th year. You know, and also recruiting athletes for his agents to go pro.
Oh, okay.
So, and I sprinkle in there. I'm also a certified executive coach, so I know how to coach.
Okay.
Life coaching, so I help a lot of guys out with that type of stuff, just to make them understand what's going to happen to them. A lot of guys in the NBA, professional basketball players, we end up. After 5 years of playing our last game, most of us lose everything we ever earned. That happened to me. But what happened was I set out to figure out why. I'm a Wesleyan grad. I'm not dumb.
That's right.
And in finding out why is that we don't know what we don't know. And so most of us, 5 years after we finish playing, it takes us that length of time to find out who we are without that ball in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, you've spent every dime you can trying to keep that same lifestyle, and it doesn't work. So I bounced back on my feet. I'm good. I'm good now. My son is on his 12th year. He'll be in Milwaukee this year. He's probably got a couple more years, and then he'll have to hang it up. So I'm glad I've been here to be able to see his whole career and to even have one.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting what you just said. I find that fascinating. I have spoken to a number of groups over the years, and I have told them Kentucky Wesleyan taught me 2 things.
Mm.
It taught me how much I don't know. And secondly, it taught me how to go find it.
Mm.
And that's kind of what you just said.
Well,
you
know, isn't that the word, the whole thing of a hypothesis?
Absolutely.
You can use that in any job, anything. You have to figure out what's the problem. You have to find a solution. You have to implement it and test it.
That's right. That's right. It's no different
than
working in a chemistry lab.
No different. And you can apply that to any facet of your life.
And the successful people do.
They do.
And it sounds like that's what you did.
You know something that I figured out? You know, we're so free in this country. And I figured out that I could be very successful if I just do the obvious.
Hmm.
The things you know we're supposed to do, like eat good food, drink water, exercise.
Be kind.
Be kind. Say thank you.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
So I'm just saying, I've tweaked my life after basketball. I figured that I'm 54. I probably got 16 more good years left in me. So I made a vow with myself that I want to, or a bet, that I want to look 50 when I'm 70. So I vowed to work out every day to keep my body as tip-tape shape as I can.
Good for you.
Well, I'm going to try. You know, I figured that if I shoot for the moon, I'll land on the stars.
But at least you've tried.
Absolutely. I'm going to try. And that's one of the, you say you learned two things from Wesleyan. I learned two things. Try and work hard.
Absolutely.
Try and practice. You can't do it. Try. And then when you get it, work hard at it.
I think there's, from my perspective, one more thing, and that is once you achieve it, appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think we don't always do that.
But here's the thing, and you can take this, we never stop and count our wins. Even if you lose 1 pound, that is a win. And if you don't acknowledge it, how are you going to grow from that?
So there's a young lady that works with me, and about a year ago, she taught me a saying that she uses, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And she says, go touch some grass. And what she's saying by that is, and it really sunk into me, is, hey, take a minute and go outside and really realize what you got. You know, appreciate it. Touch some grass.
So powerful.
Isn't it cool?
Touch some grass.
Touch some grass.
My cousin told me to take my shoes off and walk with my bare foot in the front yard. I haven't did it yet, but I'm gonna.
I've actually done that. I did that when we paid our house off.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and you know.
You know what I call that? You're counting your wins. You're
counting
celebrating
your wins.
That was a win. Do you know how big of a win that was?
I do. In fact, we worked real hard at it, and we finally succeeded with that. And we did. And I told my wife, I listen to Dave Ramsey, and I don't believe everything he says, but a lot of what he says is really true, and it applies. And he said, your grass feels different when you own it. And I never understood that, you know. And here a few years ago, we actually paid our mortgage off. So I took my shoes off, and it was a little cold, but I walked out back and walked in the grass. And you know, he's right, and it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
It's what you're talking about, Corey. It's exactly what you're talking about. Celebrate the wins.
Oh, you have to. You have to take time. You know, every day now in Florida, about 7:30, I know exactly what time if it's not raining. And I walk across the street to my neighbor's backyard, and I watch the sunset every day. And she got a lake behind her house, and you can get that reflection of the lake. And when the lake is still, we got to slow down. Life right now is passing us so fast.
It is.
I mean, there's nothing in a week no more.
You're absolutely right.
Nothing.
So let's go back now. Mm-hmm. Florida. This is where you live now. What part of Florida?
Fort Myers.
I've never been there, so I'm not familiar with that area, but beautiful. I kind of know where it is.
Yes. 2 hours south of Tampa.
Yep. And you like it?
I love it. You know, it was the apple of my eye, but I got to be honest, that last hurricane changed me. It changed something inside of me.
The one that recently passed?
No.
Okay.
The one last year, Ian.
Okay.
Yep. Ian was very massive. It really scared me. So I love Fort Myers. The sunsets are beautiful. But I'm open to making a change, but I'm not doing anything right now. But that last hurricane changed me. It really did. It was horrible.
I've never been in a hurricane.
Don't.
I can appreciate that it would change you, though. Yeah, I'm not going to seek one out, I can tell you that.
Well, to think about this, I've been through them, you know. But this one was so massive. It was just so massive. So I'm in Fort Myers, and we have some other Wesleyan people there that I know that lives in Fort Myers.
Okay.
I mean, I moved there because of Vincent Mitchell. He went to Wesleyan.
Okay.
His wife, Ashley, went to Wesleyan. Her mother-in-law went to Wesleyan. Her sister went to Wesleyan.
Oh.
Her sister's ex-husband went to Wesleyan.
You got a whole community.
His daughter went to Wesleyan.
Yeah.
And then I got a football player that lives below me. Two football players I know that lived there that went to Wesleyan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's and that's one of the fascinating things that I find is Kentucky Wesleyan is everywhere. You know, if you just look, you're going to find Kentucky Wesleyan people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I tell students this all the time. I call them alumni in training because they're soon to be alumni of Kentucky Wesleyan, and they need to think about seeking out other Wesleyan grads because Ooh. They're always going to be there for you.
That, I was hoping that they would come up with the program, and I was talking to a young lady earlier that if they could, you know, right before the junior year, find out if there's anybody in the area where they think they may live and help them do an internship.
Absolutely.
And but it has to be hopefully somebody from Wesleyan so we could have that connection, you know?
Absolutely. And it's the connection for the future as well.
Yes.
Because I go on to tell them, pay it forward.
Mm.
You do it for somebody else mm-hmm. because somebody else will, in fact, do it for you if you let them.
Yes. I like that.
And I know you've done that.
All the
time.
I
know you've helped.
I mean, my whole thing is, for me to be successful at this school, this institution, I had alumni and I had other people that helped me. I mean, George Tinsley is probably one of my best friends. And we're separated by what? I was in the 80s and he was in the 60s?
Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah. And look, we're best friends.
Yes.
And we call each other and check on each other all the time. And I hope there's other Wesleyan grads that have relationship with other Wesleyan alumni like that.
That's a great example. And that's exactly what I hope happens with. I hope that there's inspiration enough for some of these recent graduates to do that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that there is. I hope there is.
Yeah.
You know, I can't make them.
I just wish we could find a way that you have people that want to come back and be involved with the school to help it grow, not just a financial donation. No, if you go out and you're doing great things, you can make so much more of an impact. I spoke to the guys this morning. That was 6:30 in the morning at Chautauqua Park. That was part of me giving back.
It absolutely was.
Yes.
And thank you for that.
Oh, no, you don't have to thank me because I love this school. Those guys are my brothers. I have to come back and give them that knowledge that I have. How did I succeed here? They are me.
Absolutely.
So if I can give them the what you guys were naming it, the Wesleyan way, because right. there is a way that we do things.
That's right.
When we were winning, there was a process that we go through that you have to do to win games, as many as we did. And I tried to give them that. Give them a piece of that so they can understand the mindset that we would go through when we were here, you know, battling.
Corey, they're always going to remember that.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I asked them a question. They know nothing about our history. I knew about Dallas and George, Dallas Thornton and George Tinsley, because they had won 3 national championships and
Absolutely.
Played for a fourth. Okay, I know where the bar is set now. The bar is not set at not qualifying for the play in the championship of the GOVC. No. The bar is, that's a stepping stone to get to the national championship.
Win number 9.
So I tried to give them a little bit of that. The first thing I asked them to do was, I just asked them, you just got through running sprints. And they said, yes, sir. I said, but can you tell me why you ran them? They couldn't. Is it only because coach told you to? Is it because you're just playing basketball? So I just tried to give them the understanding of direction. If you don't dream or if you don't set goals, how can you have direction of where you're going?
That's pretty powerful. So that is the executive coaching.
Exactly.
That's coming out.
Of course.
Absolutely. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Tell me more.
I mean, I have people now, they want me to coach them as far as I've changed my diet, my body. You know, right now I'm in better shape than I was when I was playing professional basketball. I'm 54 years old. But in order for me to get there are, again, there are steps that you take.
Right.
And I take those steps. I just take them more often than everybody else. I'm doing the obvious. Hey, what do you do workout? I go to the gym. No. What do you mean? I said, no, I go to the gym. When I get there, I say a prayer to ask God to lead me in the way he want me to go. If you want me to lift today, Lord, show me what you want me to do. I do it. So I don't write down a program. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know how many reps I'm going to do. Because the minute you go outside of that program, you feel like a failure. I don't want to feel like that. I want to feel like a winner.
So you're always successful.
I always try to be.
But if you're following the program that's not a program, but it's the way you're being led, you're always successful.
And let me put it to you this way. If I'm not successful, I use the failure as a learning experience.
Correct.
So I'm winning. I just learned something I didn't know.
There you go. A circle, right? Now you're back.
Absolutely.
To I learned what I didn't know.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Winning is very contagious.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. You know, but that's success in anything.
You know, can I give you a secret? Also, losing is contagious.
Unfortunately, you're right.
So why not we give these guys, our team, some tools to help them be successful?
Absolutely. That's so powerful.
So that's the executive person coming out.
Yeah. So you do this as a living?
Unfortunately, I don't have to do that as a living. I don't have a lot of money, but I don't spend a lot of money. I cherish every cent God blesses me with. Right now, I recruit for an agent.
Okay.
I have some investments I take care of. I'm always looking to make more money, but money doesn't move me. It doesn't drive me. I've had every single materialistic thing I've ever wanted in life.
Yeah.
And look at where I'm at. That doesn't move me. So I make enough money that I live. Am I rich? No. But that ain't nobody else's business anyway.
You're exactly right.
So it doesn't matter.
So you do recruiting.
For his agent, the guy who was my agent. You don't have to know his name, but he was my agent. So now he's my son's agent. So we work together.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Good guy.
Yeah.
About a 30-year relationship.
And so you stay connected with sports.
Somewhat, as much as I want to be. I don't do anything in basketball. Basketball, I gave basketball my life. And when I was able to walk away, I didn't want to go and be a coach again. Could I? Did I have the experience? Yes. I needed something new. From the time I was 13 and I made that decision to dedicate my life to basketball until the time I was 37, I wanted something else in my life. I knew everything there was to know about basketball, and I still do. But I wanted to do something different. So I sold insurance for a while, learned that. I know about the stock market and all this other stuff. So I just manage my own money. I'm good. I'm okay.
Good for you.
I'm okay. I'm not rich. I'm always looking. I play the Powerball religiously. And if anybody out there listening, if I hit that 530 or 630 million, we're going to go on a vacation. Just call me if you can locate me. We going.
Yeah. When it gets, seems like that's when I only play, is when it gets like, you know, 900 million or a billion or some silly number
like
that.
Yeah, but why would you only play then and cut your chances away?
I know.
I get it. I'm just saying. It's $2.
I know. Play it when it's 10 million, right? I mean, 10 million is life changing.
Man, 1 million is life changing.
Absolutely.
What do you mean? Even if you walked away with 500,000 after taxes.
Absolutely.
Imagine what your house paid off too.
It would be phenomenal. There's no question about that. I don't know why we don't do it. I don't play.
I get it. I am. My uncle won twice.
No kidding.
That's, scratch out 450. Another scratch out 500.
And see, that's like getting struck by lightning twice.
Yeah, but you know what? You remember me? I'm trying to tell you to play every day. He played every day. He just got his money.
Yeah.
He just got his money back.
Okay.
All but he won.
Break even. Yeah. So what do you do outside of work?
I play basketball. I mean, I do a lot of weightlifting, training, abs, fishing, golf, except in Florida right now, this past summer, it was too hot. So I didn't play golf hardly all summer. It was just too hot. I still have to care for my kids, and then I have to try to see my grandkids when I can.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
Good. That's the fun part.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge collector. I got into collecting. I've actually been collecting since 92. But I just really got into collecting memorabilia, my own stuff, my son's cards. I collect a lot of the baseball player Otani. I got some of his, a lot of his stuff, some a lot of Michael Jordan stuff. Not anything worth a lot of money with Michael, but he was my GOAT.
Yeah.
Of my era.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so if I don't have something with Michael Jordan's signature on it, I'm, you know. So I got some little stuff for that. Not a lot of LeBron James stuff. Maybe one, two pieces of Kobe Bryant stuff. His stuff is too expensive. So I do that.
So interestingly, of course, I collected baseball cards primarily.
And you still do?
As a kid, and then I still have a number of cards, boxes and boxes of them, and my wife wants me to get rid of all of them. But I have Michael Jordan's baseball card.
Ooh.
You know, it's not worth mine.
Yeah, but still.
But it's Michael Jordan's rookie baseball
card. See, I'm trying to find a Bo Jackson rookie baseball and Bo Jackson rookie football.
Right.
Now, that would be a nice, that's for my, I learned a term, and the guy said, hey, I'm never going to sell this. This one is for my forever collection.
There you go.
So what is that? You know, the ones you would never get
yeah,
rid of.
The special ones.
Yes. So have you not tried to see the value of your cards?
Yeah, from time to time, you know, I will try to look them up and.
I mean, did you put them in protective sleeves and everything, or are they just in the boxes?
Oh, no, they're all sorted and in sleeves and some of them in the hard cases.
Well, you just make sure before I leave, I give you my number. So when you get ready to sell them, I just would like to take a sneak peek. You know, but I don't do the older stuff. I mean, I don't, the old stuff I have, it's because it's not that I really bought it. Somehow, I don't know how I got it, but. I did buy two Hank Aarons and a Roberto Clemente.
So that's interesting you mentioned that. So in my work, my regular work is Wendell Foster. Wendell Foster is we provide services, disability services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. Every year we have an annual fundraiser that's coming up very shortly. And that is our primary fundraiser for the year. This year we had a gentleman reach out to us and say, he's an older gentleman, maybe in his 70s, and he said, I'd like to donate a baseball card to you. Maybe you can raise some money with it at your auction. We said, okay, and we didn't know if he was legitimate or not, but come to find out after a few weeks, he came by and dropped this card off. And it's been certified, and it was just in a box, in a hard case with the certification on it, and it's a Roberto Clemente rookie card.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And I thought, holy cow. I mean, this is awesome. You know, so we still have that, and we're going to get it recertified. And isn't that neat, though, that somebody would think enough of us and what we do that they would give us
a— Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a godsend. Whew.
Yeah. Whew. So it most of what I have is not even that old. It's mostly, you know, 90s, that type of era. Yeah. Some 80s, but it's fun.
See, these guys, these little boys, when I played in Utah, they had a collection. They had their own little. So they wanted to go in the other locker room to get autographs. So they needed to say, hey, Corey wanted you to sign these. Oh. So I said, cool, you can use my name, but you got to get me one signed. So that's how I started collecting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. So I got Bird, Magic, Olajuwon, all those guys. So those guys, they
all the
to
big
it.
Guys.
I don't have all of them because I don't know why I didn't go along with them and keep doing it for every team.
Yeah.
Think about this. I was playing against Michael Jordan. I never asked for an autograph. I was right there.
Yeah.
I was in the locker room with Karl Malone and John Stockton. I never picked up their shirts and said, hey, sign this. You're going to throw it away anyway. Just sign that. Sign the tape you just took off your ankle.
Right, right. Or an old tennis shoe that you're never going to use again that would be cool.
So when I saw Shohei, I wanted to go ahead and put a stake in the ground and started getting everything I could with his name on it. So I have a decent collection with him, Shohei Ohtani.
And that's probably a good choice.
I mean, right now, I don't know how they do this, but I'm in some like message boards and I see people saying, you know, the value of Shohei is going down. And I'm like, it's not like a stock market that it should go up and down like that. If his numbers, he's already better than Babe Ruth, why would the car go down now just because he got injured? Right. No matter. He's coming back. So that's what I've done. I've either done something really great or I've done something real stupid.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. But see, that's what I'm saying to myself. What you just said, I said right now, Corey, you got to buy time. I'm buying time.
That's right.
Whatever I got to do to stay above water, to give those cars time enough to mature. That's
right.
So I'm okay.
That's right. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I mean, like right now, I started buying this one kid out of Miami. His name is Yuri Perez. And it's a Leaf Metal Draft Top 100. Then they got another one, a Leaf Metal Flight. Two different cards.
Okay.
I started buying them. I'm at 28 with this one and 29 with this one. So I'm going to sell them. I'm going to drop them one after another one. Because they got to come through me to get them if they want to complete the set. And I got 28 of them?
That's right.
I'm going to sell them.
Well, that sounds like a business venture.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me what I do every day, I do, because I got so much money tied up in that, I have to be on that every day.
Yeah.
I tell you something that I did that I guarantee you won't do. I made a database with every single Shohei card. I know where they're at. I know exactly what I paid for them, everything, but it's in the spreadsheet by year.
No, I did not do that.
Yeah. With all the cars you got, that'll take forever. How many cars do you think you have?
Oh, golly. I have probably 7 paper boxes full.
You talking about those white boxes with 3 columns?
Yeah.
7?
Big paper
right.
boxes. I don't know how many is in each one. 1,000 or so in each one, probably.
Yeah, but how are you going to go through? That's a lot.
That's my retirement plan, I guess. I keep telling my wife I just need to hang on to them, so I'll go through them. I'll go through them one day.
What do you think the most valuable card you got in there for a player, I mean? Because you're talking 90s, right?
Mostly.
So we're talking
there's
Bonds,
some older than
Canseco,
that. Oh, yes, several Bonds.
Bonds, Canseco, Ripken Jr.
Absolutely. All of those. Yeah. So I don't know. I have not really looked at card values in a very long time.
eBay. If you go to eBay, I'm going to show you this when we get off. Man, they got it so easy now. All you have to do is open eBay, go to search, and then hit the camera and take a picture, and then it'll do it. You ain't got to type nothing in.
Well, that's pretty slick.
So
technology.
So getting through all your cards would be, and if you got an eBay account on your computer, you can keep your collection there. Not give them the card. But every time I buy a card from eBay, it puts it into my collection. So I can go in, like the stock market.
Yep.
They'll tell you what the last one sold for, that type of thing.
Yeah, very neat.
So I do that. So that's kind of what I do on the day-to-day. I was playing golf, had got pretty good at it. Then I hurt my wrist twice. Then I cut my finger. So I haven't been able to play all summer. So golf is not high on my list right now. But I'm so tied into that Shohei that I have to be on that every day.
Right.
I have to.
Well, so let me switch gears. We are nearing our end of our time, but a question that I like to ask my guests, it's totally off base, but it's a selfish question, and I'm going to ask you, then I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. Tell me about your favorite vacation. Now, I ask that question, and it's selfish because my wife and I love to travel. And as I approach retirement, I'm trying to get ideas for where I might want to go and other people might want to hear. What's your vacation? What did you enjoy?
Where or what?
Doesn't matter. However you want to answer.
I live in Florida, so every day I'm kind of like on vacation. And the first time I moved to Florida, that was the, if so, I'm telling you this in case you decide to make that move. You're going to get tired of snow. And if you decide to move down there, I'm trying to help you here. You're going to, when you go down there in your mind, you're on vacation all day. But see, you may be retired. I wasn't retired when I moved to Florida. So in my mind, Florida, vacation, beach. So you got to say, no, I can't go to the beach today. I got to go to work. So it plays with your mind like that.
Yep.
So where did I go on vacation? And I cannot tell you that I went on a vacation and I did something that was so memorable. What I can tell you is I've traveled around the world with basketball. And there's many places I went, and those were the times that really marked me. I tell you, play Israel. You have
Israel.
To go. Go see the Wailing Wall. Go write you a prayer so you can stick it in that Wailing Wall. Go see where they, you can see they got a glass in the wall. You can, that's Jesus' blood where they had him on the cross. It's still there. You can see it, his blood. They had a marble on the floor where they, when they took him off the cross, that's where they laid him.
That's really cool.
France is a great place to visit. When you go to a, I can give you some advice. When you go to a different country, at least learn to say bonjour and au revoir, hello and goodbye. In Spain, what's the Spanish? Hola. In, how do you say goodbye?
Adios.
Adios. But I'm just saying, learn those things if you're going to do that travel. Those people will welcome you more instead of saying, don't you speak English? Why you don't speak English? And just because you're speaking English louder doesn't make them understand English any better.
True enough. True enough.
So Israel was a nice place. It was a great experience. Going on a cruise, if you haven't been, we went right after COVID, which meant there were hardly anybody. So we got, you know, a pick of the litter, anything we wanted to do.
Right.
Let me see. Vacation. What did you do on vacation? I'm going to tell you that just traveling around during my years of playing, Spain, if you get a chance to go, go. Visit Barcelona. It's beautiful. France, if you go, don't just go to Paris. Go to the countryside. To the little villages. That's when you get to your most. Eat the food. It's the best.
Okay. That's cool. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Corey, thank you for spending some time with me. I appreciate it, and I know everybody's going to enjoy listening about your life.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate you giving some time. I appreciate what you do for Kentucky Wesleyan and coming back and spending a little time with me.
Absolutely. I love my school, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're at the end of our time, and at the end, this is Doug Hoyt. I am the host of the Alumni Evolution podcast. I appreciate everybody taking time to listen to us today. Until next time, have a good day.
This has been another episode of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the KWC Alumni Association, hosted by Doug Hoyt, class of 1984. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow the Alumni Association on social media at KWC Alumni. See you next time, Panthers.